for our teaching time today. We're in a message series called Soul Search, and we're walking through the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, which is written by King Solomon, and he lets us in on his pursuit of meaning in life, his search for the purpose of life. And most of the time when you read Ecclesiastes, he's showing you his cynical side, his jaded side of what life looks like under the sun without a God perspective. But occasionally, about seven times in the book, he'll put on his true hat and say, but now with a God lens, with a God perspective, here's how we'll look at things. Today we're going to talk about injustice and unfairness. You spend any time around kids, you know that children are really, really good scorekeepers, and they can quickly communicate if they feel like they've been shortchanged. Hey, that's not fair. He got a bigger scoop of ice cream. That's not fair. She got more chocolate. She got, you know, more Skittles. And or that's not fair. That was my toy. I had it first. She grabbed it. He grabbed it and then hit me over the head with my toy. That's just not right. That's just not fair. That's not the way things should go. And, you know, kids say that as we grow up, we might change our wording just a little bit, but we'll say, life's just not fair. Why can't I catch a break? Or I can't believe that person, that family, what's going on? What's wrong with the world? Why can't they catch a break? Listen, we all have this desire to see things right and fair and just. That's why we have referees in a ball game. And if you want to agitate a fan base quickly, well, you just have several close calls go against the home team. That's why we have referees. That's why we have police. That's why we have courts. That's why we have a judicial system, hopefully, so that people don't get away with crime, and hopefully so that the people who are being oppressed and the people who are unjustly behind the eight ball can get some help and some assistance. But, you know, this thing with justice and fairness, we sort of have a love-hate relationship with it. If I feel like I've been wronged, I want justice and I want it quickly. If someone I love and care about's been wronged, I want to see justice done rapidly. But if maybe I wronged you, could you give me a break? Could you show me just a little mercy and grace here? Well, Solomon is fed up with seeing the world the way it is. Point number one, the reality, life is full of injustice and unfairness. That's just the way it is. Life is full of injustice and unfairness. That's the reality. Here's what he says in Ecclesiastes 3:16. And I saw something else under the sun. Remember that phrase, under the sun, found about 30 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's looking at life without a God perspective, just the way things look under the sun. And I saw something else. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there as well. In other words, I see so many crimes going unpunished. I see so many situations where corrupt people have come to positions and places of power. And are they using their power to help and bless? No, they're using their power for selfish, powerful reasons, and to keep the oppressed, the oppressed. I'm convinced, says Solomon, nice guys, nice people always finish last. And the people who could help, they're not doing anything. They're not lifting a finger. Chapter 4, again, I looked and I saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors. I'm telling you, they have no comforter. And I declared that the dead who had already died, they're happier than the living who are still alive. But better than both is the one who's never been born and who's not seen the evil that's done under the sun. I'm telling you, if you start looking at the way the world is operating, it's fallen, there's injustice and unfairness everywhere, it'll make you nauseous. And I envy the person who never has to see it. And I saw all the toil and achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless. It's a chasing after the wind. And rather than living in community and helping one another, we're just viewing each other as competitors. And throughout history, the rich have oppressed the poor. The powerful have oppressed the powerless. Race oppresses other races. Men have oppressed women. All around to this day, you see racism, sexism, oppression, ageism. Good people go unrewarded. The wrong people are prospering. Have you ever lost a business deal or a contract because you were honest, you were straightforward, but you lost that contract to an unscrupulous competitor? Have you ever seen a situation in school where the student who cheats on the test got an A, didn't get caught? The person who studied hard, didn't cheat, got a B. That worker, they stabbed you in the back at the office. They ended up with a promotion. They were manipulating and scheming, and they got a promotion. You get stuck at the same pay grade. That Christian wife is left to raise the kids all on her own. The husband left her for the other woman, and not long after that, he gets an incredible financial windfall at work. What's wrong with the world? Why aren't things operating fairly? Well, Solomon looked around and he said, I go to the places of justice and I see oppression and exploitation. I see sorrow and pain in the lives of innocent, good people. And then I see so much unconcern on the part of those who could have brought comfort. That's the reality. That's the way it is. And if you stay jaded, you'll stay cynical, and you'll throw a lifelong pity party. But there is a response. That's the reality, but there is a response from a God perspective, because God is not on vacation. God is not on leave. He does care. He is at work in our world. So what's our response? Here are a few thoughts. First of all, God grants choices to all. And with choices come consequences, and sometimes those consequences look like injustice. You can't say that you have a choice to do good without also acknowledging that we have choices to do not so good, to do bad, to do evil. And the good news is you have freedom to choose. The bad news is those choices have consequences, and sometimes your bad choices or the bad choices of someone else, they create rippling effects, and you get caught up in the wake of another person's sour decisions. And sometimes those bad decisions and those negative consequences, they look like, well, it's not fair that I got caught up in that. But God is creating a race of tested people. You were created in the image of God, meaning you have, and the people that you love and the people around you and the people that you don't even know, they have the capacity to make decisions. And sometimes those decisions create some painful consequences. Secondly, God is patient to all. Now, this is important to think about. Some of us would love to see instant karma, instant justice. Wouldn't it be great if that person who almost ran you off the road, 5 minutes later, the transmission just drops right out of their car. You say, I would love that. Or that person who spoke to you with such an angry tone, within an hour, all their teeth fell out. Yeah, wouldn't that be fantastic? Well, you got to live in that same world. And so the next time you gossip, your tongue turns bright green. Or the next time you behave in a miserly way, you look in your wallet and everything's just evaporated. We really don't want instant karma. We really don't want instant justice. And rather than God being asleep at the wheel, listen to what he says. Romans 2, verse 4. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, his forbearance, his patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? And so that person who's behaving in a very self-centered way, who's always trying to work the system, who doesn't care about justice or helping anyone who's oppressed or the disadvantaged, always just looking out for me and mine and willing to behave unethically if need be. That person, do you not understand that just because you're not getting instant justice, God's not asleep at the wheel. It's his kindness and his patience that's leading you to Jesus Christ and to a better way of living. Third observation is this: God calls his people to take the high road. Granted, there are a lot of folks who aren't going to take the high road. There are a lot of people who are always looking to work the system. There are probably people in your office, you know, the old adage, if the cat's away, the mice are play, all that kind of stuff. A lot of folks do that. But not you. You're God's daughter. You're God's son. You're full of the Holy Spirit. You have a different calling in life. And that's why the Bible will say this to you and me. Whatever you do, Colossians 3, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not the system, not for human matters, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. But you know what? I'm doing this. I'm trying to be the good guy. I'm trying to be the good woman. I'm trying to be that person in my office, in my environment, in my school, and everybody else is taking the low road. I'm trying to take the high road, and nobody knows. It's okay that nobody notices. God notices. God sees. And your life here and now, it's but a dot. It's a blip on the timeline of eternity. And you will be rewarded. God sees it. God notices it. He will reward you in due time. What's with all the injustice in the world? God allows choices to be made. And God is patient. He's not bringing instant justice and instant judgment. He's patient, leading us to Christ, leading us to repentance. And his people in the world, rather than his people being part of the problem, do what you can to be part of the solution. You're looking to take the high road. And number four, God calls his people to be his presence in the world. His presence in the world. In fact, C.S. Lewis would say it like this, that the very fact that you have a sense of right and wrong, the very fact that you have a sense of justice and injustice, that you have a sense of what's fair and what's not fair, that's an indication that there is a God, because you're not an animal. You have this innate sense of right and wrong. You have this innate sense of justice and injustice. And that's there. That's within you because, as Solomon would say in Ecclesiastes, God's put eternity in your heart. And he's asking us, the Lord is, in a world that's broken, do what you can to fix it. Do what you can to fix that little corner of your world. You say, well, my goodness, Ronnie, the world's a big place. There's so many problems. There's so much to do. I mean, can I really make any kind of a difference at all? Well, you know, Grant was talking earlier about Holly Elementary. And several of us will, you know, get one of those little red apples from Volunteer Central. We'll go out, we'll buy some goodies. You know, some of you will do that. I'll do that. Martha do that. We'll congeal it together, and we'll help that school in a disadvantaged area. And somebody says, well, is that really going to make a dent in the world? Well, it's going to make a difference at Holly Elementary. It's going to make a difference to some of those boys and girls. It's going to make a difference to some of those families. And a few years ago, I used an illustration. I'm just going to use it again, if you don't mind. I've got a couple of Snickers bars here, legitimate Snickers bars. Would anybody like a Snickers bar? Anybody want one? Okay, you raised your hand. You said you want one, so I'll give one to you. Later on, you're going to have to share that with your sister. Anybody else want a Snickers bar? You want one? There you go. Sorry, Ben, you're too late, buddy. There you go. I'll give one to you. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm out. That's all I have. You say, well, that's not right. If you didn't have enough Snickers bars for everyone, you shouldn't have brought those. Listen, gang, I do not have unlimited resources. I do not have unlimited time. I don't have unlimited energy. I don't have unlimited money. I don't have unlimited. I have limited money, limited time, limited opportunities. And this idea that, well, if I can't give a Snickers bar to everybody, then I shouldn't give one to him, and I shouldn't give one to her. No. Now, listen, I don't need to show favoritism saying, you know, you got to be a certain age or a certain race or a certain. No, no, no. But I can't do for everybody. And it's not that I don't care about you. I like you. I love you. But I don't have unlimited time. I don't have unlimited money. All right? But I can do for the one or the two or the few what I wish I could do for everybody if I had unlimited time and money and energy. But see, I don't. But here's what I can do. I can ask you, and I can ask you, and I can ask you, and I can ask you, to join me. To join me. And let's together do what we can to be the presence of Jesus in the world. And I can't share Snickers with everybody, but I could share two, and maybe you could share two, and you could share two, and you could share three. And together, are we going to solve the unfairness problem in the world? No, not till we get to heaven. And God will solve it. But we can be His presence. We can make a dent. And literally, sometimes it really is just about being His presence in the world. Everybody here knows there are some scenarios you're going to face, and they cannot be fixed or solved or explained. And the only thing worse than going through that particular scenario is going through that particularly miserable scenario alone. But when you can be the presence of Christ to someone and say, I have no explanation here. I have no fix-it solution. But I want you to know I care about you. I want you to know I love you. And we'll go have a cup of coffee together. We'll pray together. And you are the presence of Christ in the life of that person. And that's a beautiful thing. In a fallen world, yeah, we could just get cynical and jaded and just throw an ongoing pity party. Listen, and I, Here's what the Lord asks us to do. Understand, he's patient. He's being patient. Understand, he's asking you and me to take the high road and for you and me to fix what we can fix and to be his presence in the world. And let me just very quickly talk about a particular type of injustice that we need to always be aware of, and that's racial injustice. You've heard me talk about this quite a bit over the last couple of years, but I just want to say it again. I want to ask you to be the first person in every social setting you are a part of, when there's somebody there and they're not like you, they're of a different race, maybe they're just quite a bit older than you are, so they're from another planet. So, but you see somebody there and they're not of your race, or they're from a different generation, or whatever. There's something about the two of you. There's something about that person in your circle that's really, really different. Would you be the first person in that social setting to walk across the room and put out your hand? The hand of friendship and fellowship. And let me just challenge some of you here. Listen, I'm not telling you that you need to break up being a part of a really, really good small group. I think those are beautiful, beautiful things. But our church is growing in diversity. Our community is very, very diverse. And when we start a new season of small groups this fall, might it be a good time for you to say, you know, for the next 6 months, for the next year, what I'd like to do is I'm going to continue to meet with my group over here, or at least my longstanding group for, you know, we'll continue to meet every so often. But for 6 months, I want to be a part of something that's multiracial. I want to expand my relationship connection. Would you pray about that? And listen, while you're praying, would you just pray always that this church and every church, as Jesus said, would be a house of prayer for all nations, where all are welcomed and included. Now, very quickly, the last thing here to remember is that God does promise ultimate justice. He is not asleep at the wheel. And God's sense of justice points to two places. You with me? Points to two places. To the cross and to the final judgment. People will have a little phrase. They'll say, you know, I think they got away with, and somebody will say something, you know. They just got away with it. No one gets away with anything. Everything in my life will either, it's either going to be satisfied and judged at the cross of Jesus, where his payment for me allows me to walk away. So every wrong I've ever done in my life, it'll either be judged at the cross or it'll be judged in eternity. Listen to these scriptures. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. There's no one on earth who does what is right all the time and never sins. That includes you, it includes me. From the New Testament, Romans chapter 3, the Bible describing the gift of Jesus. And God gave Jesus to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. God's justice is perfect. And when Christ went to the cross, God's full and complete justice fell upon him. And he treated Jesus as if he were sinful Ronnie Norman, so that he might treat sinful Ronnie Norman as if I'm a perfect son of God. Jesus said in John chapter 5, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice, and they will come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned." In the book of Ecclesiastes, final judgment is a major theme. And so Solomon, looking around at all of the injustice, he says this in chapter 3, I said to myself, God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity and a time to judge every deed. And all of my misdeeds, God will either deal with them in eternity, or the invitation is that I will claim the way he's already dealt with my misdeeds and yours at the cross of Jesus Christ, because there God showed both his justice and his mercy. My friends, in this world, Christians don't always receive the immediate reward for all the good you do, and the evil isn't always dealt with immediately. But God has your best interest at heart. God gives to people freedom of choice. God is patient, and he's inviting all to the cross of Christ and to the grace of Jesus. And he invites you and me to live lives where we pursue righteousness and peace and justice. And he pays attention, and he will reward. He promises to do so in due time.